listening to the Baby Your Baby podcast with me, Jade Elliott, where we talk all things pregnancy, children, and parenting. Don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends. Baby Your Baby is a KUTV2 news podcast and is sponsored by Intermountain Healthcare, Broadway Media, and the Utah Department of Health.
You're listening to the Baby Your Baby podcast with myself, Jade Elliott, joined today by Leah Moses with Intermountain Medical Group. And we are starting at the beginning, the first trimester of pregnancy. Of course, when you find out you're pregnant, a million questions, you know, pop into your head, whether it's your first baby or even your fifth. And you are a certified nurse midwife with Intermountain Health. And you're going to answer some of the most common questions that you've had even asked to you when it comes to that first trimester, women coming in for their initial prenatal visits. You're going to kind of walk us through those questions, why those visits, of course, are important, and why it's important to, of course, see your provider right off the bat, you know, get the information and the answers that you need and want about your pregnancy. Whether you have already, you know, taken that positive test, or if you're just thinking about becoming pregnant, of course, there are so many things you need to know. So thank you so much for being with us.
Sure, I'm happy to be here.
So let's just start. Let's start at the beginning. You take your pregnancy test and it's positive, and now you have entered your first trimester. When should that first visit be for what we'll call a normal pregnancy? Every pregnancy is very different, and majority of pregnancies are also very normal. But just on that, you know, quote unquote, normal scale, when should that first visit be?
Sure. So a lot of women will find out that they're pregnant by a home pregnancy test. Those can be actually quite sensitive. And sometimes they'll find out, you know, usually you check after about 4 weeks from your previous menstrual period. Women will skip a period and then realize, like, oh, something's going on. So as you keep track, sometimes actually it's really helpful to keep track on an app as far as your own calendar. Women have different lengths of cycles, and so you can find out at different times. Someone will check a little earlier than others. And for some women, a pregnancy is a surprise and a really exciting and wanted surprise. And other times it's a new surprise that they have a lot of emotions about and need to deal with. So along with all of the emotional excitement and changes that can happen in the very beginning, you also want to make sure that you contact a provider. So there are a lot of different options. Usually we say, as far as a rule of thumb, in public health in general, to have a visit by 13 weeks. That's a little late for some, but that's a general rule of thumb. And then during your pregnancy, you want to have about 13 visits. So the 13 and the 13.
Those are easy numbers to help you remember.
Easy to remember, right. So usually women will choose a provider based on their location. Sometimes they'll get a referral from a friend. Word of mouth is great. You know, you really want to choose someone, a midwife or an OB, based on your own medical condition, and also based on, of course, sometimes insurance comes into play as well, but also based on your own philosophy too. What are you looking for? Do you want someone to stay with you in labor? That would be a midwife. Do you have some higher risk issues and you need an obstetrician who can also have a surgical options? So there are lots of things to consider when you're choosing a provider. That's one decision to make in early pregnancy. But in general, you know, women oftentimes will keep the information to themselves or just share with themselves and their partner for a while, and that's okay. It's good to take stock of what you're getting ready for.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like I said, whether it's your first or your fifth, it can always be very different.
Right.
So when we talk about that first visit and when that is, what are the expectations of that first visit from a provider standpoint, of an expectation from, you know, the woman, the mom, the expectant mom coming in? And then also on the flip side, from the expectant mom's standpoint, what are the expectations of that first visit?
Sure. I think sometimes those can align and sometimes those can be really different. So on the provider end, you know, we are hoping that women will come in with an open mind and ready to receive information. So if it's your first pregnancy, then there are quite a few things to check and find out. If it's a subsequent pregnancy, especially if it's closer together that and you already know your provider, then that's a little bit different. But the first time and subsequent times, we'll do the same thing for all women. So there are some urine samples to find out about potential infection, because we don't want UTIs in pregnancy for sure, and they're not always symptoms. We also do some blood work, and that's for everyone. So to find out about your iron levels, what's going on as far as your blood, your blood type is important to find out as well. So it can be one poke and a lot of information. So sometimes women get a little bit worried about having a blood draw, but it's generally not a big deal, and can happen actually pretty quickly. So in that blood draw, the other things that we find out about too are immunizations. So are you still immune to, for example, rubella? That's usually a childhood vaccination or one that we get a booster for. Those are the important things to find out in pregnancy. The other things too are things like hepatitis B, C. We also test everyone for HIV, and as well as chlamydia, gonorrhea, and other STIs. It's important, even if you're monogamous and even if you have a very clean health history, the provider and also the nurses on labor and delivery, and when you come into a facility to deliver, want to know and make sure that everything is good to go for you to have your baby. And that information that's done at those first couple of blood draws can be passed on in your chart, so to wherever you end up delivering. The other thing too is to make sure that we calculate your actual due date. So that's a really exciting thing that happens at a new OB visit. Usually women come in knowing, because there are so many apps and resources available now. So you look at your last menstrual period, which is not the only way to find out, but one way. And then you're able to calculate based on that. And that's why tracking your period in an app beforehand, if you're trying to conceive, can be really helpful for you and for your provider to be able to be as accurate as possible. Now, a due date is not necessarily a date, as most of us know. It's like more like a due window, we say, right? So a period of time where we can kind of expect that your baby may arrive, and that will be different for each woman, but generally around 40 weeks for a first-time mom. The other thing too that we also give advice about, well, going back to the due date, an early ultrasound can happen at a first visit. Now, this sometimes happens in radiology, or it sometimes happens with your provider, depending on skill set and what that office offers. So around 7 weeks is a great time to get an early ultrasound, 7 to 8 weeks. And oftentimes you can actually see baby's heart rate, which is sometimes in the 150s, 160s, 170s, which is pretty fast compared to a regular normal adult rate. And that's exciting to see. Now, a measurement will be done at that ultrasound, and that can also be matched with your last menstrual period date. And that can help us to know approximately when the best, the actual due date is for you.
That window, once again, yeah, because it can be very different.
Yeah, exactly. At a first visit, also from the provider end, you know, we're going to give some advice, and that includes making sure that you take prenatal vitamins throughout your pregnancy. Although I should say that it's actually important to take prenatal vitamins even before you become pregnant, if you possibly can. Doing that can increase your level of folic acid, which helps to decrease birth defects. And that's why a lot of foods that we have, especially in the US, are actually fortified with folic acid. And that's something that is kind of a just in case. But if you're trying to conceive, we really actually recommend starting a prenatal vitamin, which actually can do great things for hair, skin, and nails too.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they're great for you. Mm-hmm. So now we've got through that first visit, and we are in our first trimester now. And that first trimester can be a wild ride for women, and can be very different from pregnancy to pregnancy. You and I both know there's all kinds of different, you know, wives' tales and myths and all the things of, well, if you feel this way, you're having this. And if you do this, it's because of this, and all the things. And I mean, you know, if there's anything to be said of all of it, who knows? But we do know that, the signs and symptoms during that first trimester, some, of course, are very similar across the board, woman to woman, but some are very different as well. It can be a little bit of a roller coaster from one pregnancy to another. I know mine have been completely different.
Yep, that's really true. There are a lot of common symptoms in the first trimester, and it's, women have been pregnant for a long time. There have been many women who have been pregnant also, so we have lots of different experiences to draw from. And in each culture, actually, cultures vary as far as beliefs about, you know, if you're more sick, it must be a boy, if you're, you know, all of those different things. And or if you have a lot of heartburn, the baby's going to have a lot of hair. You know, there are so many, I think, common, interesting beliefs about the first trimester symptoms. And there also are common, there's common discussion too about, you know, whether or not you're pregnant based on symptoms. So that's something to consider as well. So we call those probable signs of pregnancy. So going back to before, you might be taking that test, you know, you may start feeling some of these things that I'll describe. So feeling tired because your body's working really hard to adjust all the physical changes, and you might need to sleep a little bit longer than usual. Some women, especially, you know, we're pretty go-getters here in the United States, and a lot of us who maybe might work have full-time jobs, or we're full-time caregivers to children or others in our family, you know, we start feeling days where it's getting a little bit exhausting. Like these normal things that I used to do just fine, you know, I just don't want to get in the car and go to the store. I'm too tired. You know, this is actually, it's a real thing. Your body can actually become more fatigued, as you have even more hormone changes too. But don't worry, because energy usually returns in the second trimester. Morning sickness, so feeling like you really just are going to lose it. This happens definitely in the first trimester for a lot of women, not everyone. That's why we call it a probable sign of pregnancy. And so nausea, vomiting, I mean, there's a whole spectrum all the way from, oh, I feel occasionally kind of sick to my stomach. Wow, I got to run out of the house when I smell, you know, this certain thing cooking. Or all the way to where I really can't keep food or fluid down within 8 hours. And that's when you need to consider really making sure your provider knows that, so that you can get even IV infusions going, because dehydration can be problematic in pregnancy. So a couple of really simple things at home. You can suck on ginger candy. There are lots of different remedies for morning sickness. And we call it morning sickness, but really it should just be called nausea, vomiting.
Anytime sickness,
feeling crummy in pregnancy. So you might want to, you know, just kind of pay attention to the foods that you eat. You might want to avoid certain things for a little while, and then you can come back to them later on. And taking some over-the-counter supplements such as vitamin B6 combined with a non-addictive treatment like Unisom can actually really help. Talk with your provider about that though. If you have gone to a first visit, bring that up. And then sometimes we can even prescribe it through insurance, and that's kind of nice. But otherwise, over-the-counter stuff is great. And staying hydrated in small protein meals can really help. So keep your blood sugar up. I have a funny story. My sister was sick in pregnancy, and she swore by leaving some Honey Nut Cheerios by her bed. Funniest thing. Sometimes healthy can help. I mean, everyone will find something different. And you know, every pregnancy, like you said, is different too. So you feel like, oh, this must be really different. I'm so much more sick than before, or not as much as before. Don't worry about that. It's okay. There are changes in your body that are happening, and you kind of have to just go with the flow.
No, absolutely. And I think, I know for me, I mean, from my last pregnancy to this one that I'm currently in, and there's a 5.5 year span of time that has passed too. And so, you know, I don't like to play the age card and say, oh, it's because I'm older, but you know, your body changes, things are different. Right. And so, you know, it takes a different toll at different times of your life. So, you know, I think that has something to do with it too. And then, you know, with the morning sickness or the anytime sickness, you know, it's like, if you're not running to the bathroom for that, you're running because you have to go all the time.
Right. And that can really be a hormone change thing as well. But also you start having, you know, some displacement, right? Your uterus is getting a little bit bigger. It's pressing on the bladder. That's going to happen throughout pregnancy. And that's really normal. I mean, you might even leak a little bit when you cough or sneeze. It's okay. It's surprising for some women. Put a liner in. It's all right. It happens to the best of us.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and as you're running to the bathroom, be careful, because sometimes you can become like a little bit lightheaded in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And part of this just has to do with, you know, blood changes. So your blood volume is increasing and can increase about 50% throughout the first to second trimesters. And so that can make a big difference. You're making a lot of change within your circulatory system, which is supporting your baby, and that can have these funny extra effects. So take a seat if you need to. Some women get to the point where they really feel like they're going to pass out. Be careful, you know, and kind of know your body and pay attention to what you need, and take breaks as you need as well. That's something to consider also if you're at a really, you know, a demanding job. You know, a lot of women will maybe have a discreet discussion with a supervisor, whatever they need to do to make sure that they can take some breaks at work as well. And, you know, it's hard when you're not showing yet, because that's in the first trimester, most women don't show much. And so you kind of feel like, I have all these symptoms and I've got nothing to show for it. Don't worry, things are changing, and these symptoms are actually really normal. So another thing too, you know, you go to lunch with a friend and you've got severe heartburn. I mean, that can happen as well. So that's also a function of hormone changes and then your body slowing down the digestive process, just a bit. And that can make a big difference. So when you go out to lunch, throw some Tums in your bag and make sure that you do all the over-the-counter remedies that you can. And then let us know, you know, when you come in for a visit, if you feel like it's going a little overboard, or you feel like every single day, you know, you're not able to manage that heartburn or these other symptoms, because we have other remedies too.
Yeah, I know, we're making it all sound so glamorous.
I know.
And it is such a beautiful thing, you know, but we talk about all these changes because you're growing a human. I mean, things are bound to change, and just like things are changing, you know, so much on the inside as we make all of this sound so glamorous, we're also changing on the outside. We're having skin changes and breast changes and vaginal changes, and we're getting bigger and our pants aren't fitting and all the things. But it's all just, you know, it is a beautiful thing. But there are a lot of changes, especially in that first trimester.
And totally normal too. And some things that we kind of consider, oh, this is TMI, you know, in a social setting. But honestly, when you walk into a midwife or an OB's office, you can ask whatever questions you want. Some women are very hesitant, like, I have all this different vaginal discharge. What do I do? You know, is it an infection? I mean, talk to us about it. Normally, you know, you have increased discharge. That's something that definitely happens, a little bit watery. It can be a little bit uncomfortable. Throw a liner in and really, truly ask us. We're always open to talk about changes. Breast changes, breast tenderness is a real thing. You find when you put a bra, oh, I need a different size, you know, I need some different support. So pay attention to that. It's really okay. It's the normal thing that's going to happen. The other thing too is this, you know, unbuttoning your pants. So some women they got to go shopping in that first trimester, closer to, you know, 12, 13 weeks, because they really don't have anything that fits anymore. Just remember that, you know, there are a lot of different little tricks and tips. You can probably find quite a few online. You can use a little rubber band, you know, between your button and the hole. Just remember that, like, you're doing this, like you said, you're growing a human. You know, this is a big change, and it's okay to have this change. I think we're pretty body conscious, especially in the United States, and that's something that that I think all of us as women and as a society need to work on, that it's all right to have body changes, especially when it's something as important as pregnancy.
Yeah.
And then also these idea of skin changes that you're talking about too. Some women start to get that real nice glow. Other women actually have acne breakout. So that's also something to talk with your provider about if you feel like it's kind of going a little bit too far. But most women really enjoy that, I think probably that increased glow, we call it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on top of all of the physical changes that we're talking about in the first trimester, emotional changes, those are real as well. I mean, you see the funny things and the jokes, you know, crying during a commercial and, you know, crying over a leaf falling off a tree. I mean, whatever. But it is real life. Emotional changes are for real.
They are for real. And, you know, really with hormone changes come emotional changes. That's just, that's like something we really know about. Kind of think back to when you first started your period. I mean, you know, your mom's probably noticing, your sister's noticing, like, why is she so moody? You know, I mean, That definitely can happen as well. We have a heightened sense of emotion in pregnancy. It has to do a lot with hormones, but also sometimes with a big change, whether it's an expected and wanted, or something that is new and challenging. So fatigue and stress can also increase those symptoms too. You know, that tiredness kind of comes into play as well. So you want to make sure you're getting enough sleep, and like I said, hydration, small protein meals, so that you don't have low blood sugar and have that hangry kind of experience. And you know, if you lose your car keys, it's all right. Maybe it's time to put a hook up and make sure that they're right there, you know, in the same place every day. Also, just making sure you talk with your support people, with your partner, with mm-hmm. your friends, if you're feeling comfortable and if that's something that you want to reveal, and let them know, hey, this is going on. I need a little break. You know, I need a little help with this. You might want to start delegating a few things.
Yeah, absolutely. And to remember, you know, like we said, you're growing a human. So, you know, it's so much more than just you at that moment, right. But it's so important to think about yourself too. You're constantly going to be thinking about your baby from here until the end of time, because that's what you do then as a parent, is constantly think and worry about your kids, regardless of their age. And so it starts now in the first trimester. It'll never stop. But you have to remember that you have to take care of yourself to make sure that you're taking care of your baby, whether it's your first trimester or your kid's 15. You have to be good so that you can take care of your kids.
That's true. That's true. And going back to that, also in those first prenatal visits, you know, we're going to make sure also that we offer things like the flu shot and even the COVID vaccine, which I know is a big topic right now, but taking care of yourself means, and we really promote that in pregnancy right now. We're wanting to make sure that every mom has the opportunity to get the immunizations that will help her and her baby stay healthy. And I think that combined, you know, taking care of your physical health and taking care of your emotional health, like you said, both of those are really important.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked a lot about first trimester changes that take place for us as expectant moms, but there's a lot of changes going on inside too. This tiny, tiny, tiny little baby is making some big moves in a pretty short period of time. And changing a lot week by week.
Yes, I actually have a list of changes of the baby's development during the first trimester, week by week. So we know that conception usually happens about 2 weeks after the start of your last menstrual period, and you may not even know the exact day that you were pregnant. That's all right. During weeks 3 to 4, the fertilized egg moves through fallopian tubes toward your uterus and attaches to the lining. Once it's implanted, it starts to grow and the placenta starts to develop. So by the end of 4 weeks, you might know that notice that you've missed your period. At week 5, the embryo's neural tube forms. So that's going back to that folic acid that we talked about that's so important, that plays a part in this development. And also that neural tube becomes your baby's brain, spinal cord, and backbone. Tiny buds start to appear that becomes your baby's arms and legs, and the heart and lungs are developing rapidly. So there's a lot of exponential change that happens during these first few weeks. Your embryo also is producing HCG, so that's the pregnancy hormone that home tests pick up on, and that also we can test for in a lab in a quantitative number and watch levels rise as we find out about viable pregnancies. And then at week 6, your baby's heart is developed enough that we can actually see the heart rate on ultrasound. So that can be that, you know, 150, 160, 170 beats per minute really fast. Her nose, mouth, fingers, toes, and ears are forming and beginning to take shape. And then week 7 is when baby's bones continue to develop. They're still pretty soft, but are starting to take shape. So eyelids are staying shut, and even gender actually starts to form at this time. So by week 8, all of the baby's major organs and body systems are at least in their beginning stages of development. At week 9, your baby's about a half an inch long, which is kind of exciting to think about. And most of the time on apps or on, you know, you can find different sort of comparisons to small food items too, to find out like how big your baby is. That's kind of fun. At week 10, we can hear your baby's heart rate on the Doppler in the clinic. And so when we use those little handheld Dopplers, that's about the earliest that it's possible to really be able to hear at a prenatal checkup. And at week 11, your baby's officially a fetus and bones start to harden. Skin is still really thin and transparent, but definitely developing. And then an interesting thing too is that the baby's head makes up about half their size at this time. So then we move into week 12, where babies are about 2 inches long, and then continue development. So by week 13, you're into second trimester.
Which is crazy because it really does go as fast as that.
So fast, yeah.
Yeah, and it is. It's a wild ride like we were talking about, from, you know, the changes that we're going through as an expectant mom to the changes that baby is going through as it grows through that first trimester. It's wild how fast it goes and how much changes. And that breakdown that you gave us, that was great, because like you said, not a lot of people always know exactly what's going on in there. And there's a lot going on.
Well, you can't see it from the outside, but you can definitely feel all those symptoms. And so I think it's interesting and important also to remember that while you have all these amazing changes in your body, that, you know, your body's working really hard, and this is all for a purpose.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful purpose. And of course, your guys' website, intermountainhealthcare.org, great source of information when it comes to pregnancy, finding women's health providers. You even have a calculate your due date little gizmo on there as well. So that's always fun to play with and to see when that due date or that due window might be. So Leah, we so appreciate your time. Thank you so much for walking us through the wild ride that a first trimester of pregnancy can be.
My pleasure.
And that concludes this episode of the Baby Your Baby podcast.
Thanks for joining me, Jade Elliott, and our guest for this week's Baby Your Baby podcast. If you have a topic that you'd like our Baby Your Baby experts to discuss, leave us a comment and don't forget to subscribe. Baby Your Baby is a KUTV2 news podcast and is sponsored by Intermountain Healthcare, Broadway Media, and the Utah Department of Health.